Hello, and welcome to the Consistent Profits Podcast, brought to you by Inside Out Trading and Brian McAvoy, where the focus is on consistency, because when you have the consistent part down, profits become easy. Hello, everybody. This is Brian McAvoy with a new episode of the Consistent Profits Podcast. I'm excited today to be interviewing Ran Arusi of Tradelogix. Thanks so much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me. Good to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you here, man. This is going to be cool. So everybody knows, Ran is the founder of Tradelogix, a cloud platform that allows programmatic traders to focus on trading logic instead of the boring stuff by offering a suite of tools to address every part of the algorithmic trading business cycle. Ran enjoys using his decades of software development and data science experience to study the financial markets and find anomalies worth exploring for both fun and profit. And he also released several popular open source financial libraries for Python developers and algorithmic traders. Again, thanks for being here and taking time for this interview.
It is a pleasure.
Now, and looking at your history and everything, I thought it was pretty cool how you really got your start way back when with an IBM PC as a bar mitzvah present. I presume you were probably about like high school age around then, right?
I got my first computer as a bar mitzvah present.
Yeah.
When I was 13 years old, my first programming language, there wasn't a lot to do back then with computers. So you had to know how to program it in order to make it do something. It didn't even have a hard drive. So I had to learn some basic to start coding my own Space Invader clone games, stuff like that. And then we had a lot of fun, a bunch of friends with ASCII art because you couldn't have real photographic real photos on the computer, so it kind of evolved from there. And I really liked it. I really liked, for me, it makes sense. I like the predictability of how computers operate. So maybe, I don't know, maybe it says something about my character, but I like knowing what's going to happen. That's why I've been having fun with computers ever since.
Yeah. Well, one thing in particular that I think is really cool, because it's something that I've watched, and you've got a technical background. My background's engineering, but just watching the evolution of technology over the last 30 years, and
wow,
the trading space, they've both evolved quite a lot since the mid 90s, and you've had kind of an inside look at both of them, but especially on the tech side. So how's that been as far as being able to watch things evolve, both of them, as you've been going along, especially on the tech side?
I'll start with the tech side because it's easier for me. It's a non-linear progress, what we're seeing. It's really exponential. Just the progress in the past few months compared to the past year, and the past year compared to the past 10 years. So it's really been extraordinary to watch this. So as I mentioned, when I started out, I didn't even have a hard drive. I had 8 bits, 8 kilobytes of the memory and 8-bit screen. So it was really not a fun experience. And by the time we got to high school, we were kind of developing with more advanced languages like C and Pascal. I don't know if anyone remembers that language. We used to program kind of mischievous viruses to get some time off school, just to make sure that nothing works in the school. So, nothing really sinister, but just more of a playful type of viruses. No actual damage, just make sure that they don't turn on during these hours when we have class. But then around the early 90s.
Yes, so early to mid 90s when internet really started to become a thing. Mm-hmm. I remember that was the point where I was really sucked in. The first time I surfed the web was horrible websites back then, but the first time I surfed the web was in 93. And I was just blown away. I knew that this is going to be the path for the future. It's going to revolutionize communication. It's going to revolutionize everything. I didn't anticipate what was going to happen about 10 years after, which was the open source kind of revolution. My first startup was in 1997, and we had to pay, you know, an arm and a leg just to get a database and a web server. Everything was so expensive. Sure. And just a few years later, everything suddenly became free due to open source technologies. So we didn't have to pay $100,000 a year for a database. We just started using MySQL to do the same for free. So, and when that revolution really came into place, not to say that open source wasn't existing before the early 2000s, but when this really took on, this is where really things started to pick up pace, because now everyone at home could develop something really cool without a lot of resources. And that where you really started seeing that this whole industry explodes at this time. You could actually do something with $10,000, build a company from scratch. And in the early 2000s, whereas before you had to be funded just to be able to pay for servers and software.
Yeah, that
was really exciting.
Well, just for listeners who aren't familiar with the term, what does open source mean?
So open sources is essentially, it's open as in free, open source software is a software that people develop and they release the code for people to use. The license depend on the different open source libraries, but you are able to take a peek into the actual code that runs the software and really understand how it works. You can modify it for your own needs. You can really do a lot of great things with it. And the licensing, some licenses allow commercial use. Most of them allow commercial use. Some of them allow just research and non-commercial use. But the greatest thing is that some of them cost money. Most of them don't. But the really good benefit is that they help advance technology at large, because even if you're found a great tool that is not open for commercial, so you can learn a lot about it, about how it was developed just by looking at the code and maybe just develop an alternative for yourself. And it really is what moves most of the internet today. So starting to talk about databases, we talk about cloud services that are using open source tools. Almost all of the programming languages are open source, and you can contribute to. So it's essentially everything that happens right now is, I think that it's a lot due to open source technologies, and that's exactly what we're going to see in AI as well. So right now the leading AI is a proprietary one. It's OpenAI with ChatGPT, but I think that we're going to see more and more open source alternative coming about real soon, which will give it a good run for its money. And then you'll see this field explodes even more than you see it now.
Yeah. Well,
so yeah,
yeah,
it's
that's
definitely
pretty
been
wild
an exciting
the,
journey. I
can
see. I can't wait to see what we'll have.
I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah, that could be really nice.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's the 2000s all over again, just on a different field, slightly different field in terms of the business logic. That's what Google said. There was a leak, I don't know if it was intended or not, that they said, we have no moat in AI, and neither do OpenAI, because already we have an open source alternative that's almost as good, 90-something percent as good as ChatGPT. And it's going to take weeks to be on par with it and then surpass it. You can't compete with hundreds of thousands of people working and collaborating on code, regardless of how much money you have invested in your company. At the end, you know, the people will be the last to say what they have.
Yeah, as far as groupthink, I mean, AI in itself is pretty cool as far as, you know, an advancement technology and, you know, kind of thought power, so to speak. from the digital side. I was reading an article a while back, and I found it to be very true when I was kind of researching it, because I found it interesting. But they were talking about how groupthink with humans has been used in several situations and has been extremely powerful. And they were talking about things like, and one of the first examples the guy used was a ship had gone down in the Atlantic somewhere. And so they were trying to figure out where it went down and where they would likely be able to find the remains of the ship. And so, they called in some experts and they did their best and not finding anything. And so they kind of put it out to a larger group of people, and it was like several hundred. And then they took the average answers for everybody. And then based on the average, as far as the locations on the map, they said, okay, this is kind of what the group consensus is if we average everything out.
And yeah.
They found the ship, and the group answer was within 200 yards of where it actually was.
Oh, that's extremely close.
Yeah. I mean, it was amazing. And the other examples he cited, he was saying that, yes, groupthink, maybe it's the collective unconscious or whatever, but it can be amazingly accurate for coming up with some really difficult, solutions. And it was like, so what you're saying, like with the open source and the, contributions of thousands, yeah, same thing there, because you're putting so much, mental energy and resources into it. And so that's, that's really exciting. Well, especially, and again, looking at the next evolution, as AI becomes a contributor to that, and now you got open source with thousands of AIs contributing, in addition to humans, yeah, things can get crazy in a hurry.
Things will get crazy real fast.
Well, now, you started off with a web development firm, which...
Yep.
And so what does that mean? I basically just set up websites, or were you on the infrastructure
side of it? So I started with a web design and development firm back in 97.
Okay. Which
wasn't a great time because I had to explain to customers what internet is. once we started getting a few customers, things kind of rolled from there. And... maybe a year or two later, customers started to ask, okay, you've built the website, can you help me get traffic? So I had to kind of go and learn to do internet advertising, internet marketing, and I gotten quite good at it. And I realized that, okay, so I don't need the customers anymore. I can just use affiliate marketing and build my own stuff. because if I have the content, I have the revenue stream, and I have the means of getting traffic, then I'm all set. And that's what I've been doing for a long period of time.
Yeah.
I even started a school back in the day to teach people on how to do internet marketing and e-commerce back when nobody was doing that. And I worked a lot with ClickBank and did a lot of email marketing and advertising. Yeah. But gradually, I drifted back into the tech industry, and I found a way to make both work together, and I got into the ed tech space, kind of where all the programmatic ad buying and selling happens. I joined forces with a few friends who started a company, and I joined there as the expert, and gradually we built an ad network with capabilities for real-time bidding and arbitrage between different exchanges. And at the height point before I left, they're probably doing a lot better now, but when I left there about 10 years ago, we were doing about 3 billion ads every day. So that's no small number. The way that it works, not a lot of people know this, but the way that bidding on advertising online works is a lot very similar to what's happening in the stock exchanges. So every time you go into a website and there's an ad to be displayed, there are thousands of advertising bidding to get your eyeballs, essentially. And this all happens programmatically and very fast, obviously, but there's a lot of data points that are taking into place where the banner is, who is watching it, what time is it in the day, what's the weather in the country where you're watching. So there's so many data points. But at some point I kind of started to feel that there's, Yeah, I know that money makes the world go round, but there was so much brain power there at the end to how to lose some, to click on a banner on how to lose your belly fat. So I didn't feel that was a very good ROI, although the company made a lot of money and everyone did great. But I, again, the geek in me kind of rose up and wanted to do something else that's more mentally challenging. And that's where I got into trading, essentially, about 10 years ago. So that kind of was my journey from pure tech to trading, and then back to trading using tech. So it's kind of a journey.
Well, so what prompted you to start Tradelogix, where now you're providing it as a service for other traders? How did that come about?
Yeah. So when I started, maybe you should have mentioned, when I started trading, I realized very quickly that discretionary trading is not for me. You really need to know who you are and what works for you. I couldn't stand sitting in front of the charts all day and just waiting for the action, because a lot of time there isn't any action, and then I decided to, you start to imagine action, and that's where you're gonna lose money. So I realized very early on that that's just not for me. I need to create my own, matrix agents that will be ready to pounce whenever something happens and be ready to bounce whenever something bad happens. So, and I created a bunch of algorithms to trade with, but I couldn't find any real tools other than MetaTrader, which don't get me started. I didn't want to trade Forex, and I didn't want to trade on a Windows machine. I'm not so adamant against it now, but back in the day, it was a huge debate between open source versus Windows. So anyway, so I had to create my own stuff, my own tools to connect to different brokers' APIs and be able to execute the trading. Everything that I've created, aside from the actual trading logic, I released as an open source just because I'm a great believer in that. And it kind of took on fire. It got a lot of people started to use my tools. They're on GitHub. Right now, to this day, I get about 600,000 installs every month, which is insane. If I could make a buck for each one, that would be great. but anyways, it's... I released this as an open source. A lot of people started using it, and I started to get a lot of feedback, and I kind of gotten the impression that a lot of people suffer from not knowing how to get their ideas into production. Because it's one thing to tell yourself, okay, I have a system, I have my rules base, I know, at least in theory, when to get in and when to get out. You have your rules. But that's not the same as programming an entire system that listens to market data and tracks your position and measuring risk levels. It's not the same writing the, if Apple goes up, buy Apple. If Apple goes down, sell Apple. It's not as easy. There's a lot of moving parts in the trading system. So I decided, let's build a project called the Tradelogix that will provide all of that. So it will give you everything you need aside from the trading logic. That's on you. And hence the name of the company. So when you sign up for an account, we'll take care of the market data. We will take care of monitoring position, of allowing you to talk to pretty much any broker out there with the same API, the same command. So you don't have to rewrite your program when you switch brokers. Having a unified interface to monitor your position across different sectors and different venues. Have your own real-time screeners to send you alerts when something happens. So obviously provide you with detailed reports as to everything that goes on, including we're also providing you with the actual virtual servers to actually run your code on. So it's really the entire package of everything you need. You just need to know how to trade. Essentially, be a trader, be an okay programmer, Again, it's one thing to be able to log into, for example, for a WordPress website and change the font to bold font. It's a completely different game to write a plugin or develop a website from scratch. So that's the levels of programming that you need. You need to be able to kind of change the font. You need to be able to write a few lines of code to have your algo running, because you don't have to write any code to monitor the position or to check whether or not you're in position even, or you don't have to write the code to send the order, to receive and digest the market data, and to filter out the tens of thousands of data points that we receive every minute. Good. So that was kind of the idea, and people seem to like it.
Well, so what you said, so just for clarification, you said that when somebody does come to work with the Tradelogix, how much do they need to know? They need to be a trader. They need to understand, trading method or strategy. So beyond that, when they come to work with you, what else do they need to know to be able to work with Tradelogix? And we'll start with that one. Coding, or do they just need to know how to connect your platform and their broker?
So right now they do need to know coding, but they need to know coding at a much higher level than actually doing the systems trading. So you need to be able to write the if-then rules. Okay. Essentially, you need to be as good as a programmer as writing a simple, easy language script. In the programming language of your choice, we don't tell you which one you want to use. You want to use Python, that's fine. You want to use JavaScript, PHP, Ruby, Go, whatever you want, we facilitate it. So right now you have to do some coding. Our plans is to introduce a no-code solution that will allow you to just use building blocks. However, the road to that is still long, because that will also seriously limit your abilities to express yourself. There's a limit to how complex your algorithm can be using a drag and drop interface, and how many rules you need to put there. So if you want to put in your own math, you have to do some coding. So yeah, it's instead of having to know how to develop entire trading systems or trading operating system, you need to know how to program your rules inside this big machine that we've created for you. I hope that makes sense. So it's about 5% of the overall code that you would have had to write otherwise.
Okay. Well, just so, because a lot of traders are, we're not afraid of a challenge, but as far as learning what we would need to learn to work with your system, about how long would you figure that it'd take for somebody who's, they got a reasonable aptitude to learn that basic coding that you're talking about? About how long would that take? Probably 5, 10,
so
50 hours?
If you're a non-programmer at all?
Right.
Yeah, probably about that, about 20, 30 hours starting using Python. You'll be able to write a simple yet robust enough algo. Yeah, something like that.
That's not bad.
Yeah, because you're not going to learn Python. You're going to learn Python for that very specific use case.
Right.
So there's a million things in Python yet that you wouldn't need to learn, essentially. So you're only focusing on something very specific.
Huh. Very cool. Now, do you have any tutorials available for people who maybe have? I mean, like way back when I took Basic and Fortran and Pascal. But I'm not familiar with Python. So if I've got kind of an understanding of writing out a basic algorithm on paper and then translating it into programming, if I've got that kind of an understanding. Do you have any tutorials or tutorial videos that can get somebody up to speed fairly quickly?
Actually, no. We are working on a free course that will release on the website. That's Python for traders. We already have some sort of a resource that is math for coders. So a lot of coders, myself included. We understand very complex math, but in an intuitive way. When it's written as a program, we understand the math. When it's written as a formula,
right,
it's very hard for me to intuitively look at it and say, okay, yeah, I understand what's going on here. But if you rewrite it as a, I don't know, as a for loop, as a program, yeah, I read it like plain English. So we created like a tutorial that explains, okay, this function does this shape of when you see formula. So this shape right here, this is actually that formula that you all already know. So don't be too scared of math formulas. It's a kind of help coders read more scientific papers about trading. But yeah, we're working on something that is still in the kind of the planning stages, but we're working on something like Python for traders, which is to say to teach you the kind of the really small subset of the language that you need for the actual trading.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. How far away do you figure that is? When do you figure you might be releasing that? Got an estimate on the timeline?
We actually don't have estimate. We just started planning it. Probably a couple of months.
Cool. Well, as you get that sorted out, what your target release date is, let me know. Because yeah, I'd be thrilled.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Yeah, of course.
But also, you know,
it's going to be part of and we're going to launch an entire revamped and much more informative and beautiful website with lots more resources. So that's still in the works. So it's all going to come out together in the next few months.
Huh, very cool. Now, as far as Tradelogix, do you work with all the different markets, or do you focus mostly on stocks or currencies or crypto? What platforms do you work
with? So right now we focus on US equities, Forex, and crypto. So these are the markets that we currently support. We work with, I can't remember, close to 30 different brokers and exchanges using the same interface. So as I mentioned, you don't have to rewrite your program just because you wanted to switch from, I don't know, Interactive to Binance for some reason. But let's say that's what you decided to do. In today's world, without Tradelogix, they have different APIs. So you essentially have to rewrite everything. Right. So we're saving you from that. We're doing everything behind the scenes for you. To answer your question, these are the markets that we support. The next market that we're going to support, and it's been on hold for about a year just because we're kind of focusing more on the actual usage of users, making sure that they fully embrace Tradelogix into their workflow and their businesses as well. But the next market is going to be futures and more international markets for stocks.
Cool. Now, do you guys work with options at all, or pretty much just the underlying instruments?
So, you know, we work with the underlying. With options, we have a bit of a challenge, which is not the actual trading. If you send an order, we'll pass the order along. You'll get filled.
Right.
The problem with options is backtesting. It's just mountains of data, and we need to figure out how to do this properly, and that the same code that you've used for backtesting can be used for live trading. So we need to really think this through, because we don't want you, we don't want to come and say, you know what, for backtesting, this is how your code should work, but for live trading, it's a completely different thing. So we were really careful not to do this with the markets that we currently support, but options, these are completely different ball games. So we'll see.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The options. One thing that cracks me up about options, you know, we talked about the evolution of things, is how options is presented by so many. It wasn't that long.
Yeah.
Remember we had like the binary options,
phrase. That was.
And it's like, oh my God, you guys have oversimplified it to a great selling point, but options are way more sophisticated.
But that's gambling. That's literal gambling, the binary options. You may get the direction right, but they needed to be right at the second level. So to nail both the price and the second that is going to happen. And this is casino. This is not trading. But yeah, you talk about the evolution. You have daily expired options now, which is crazy.
True. Yeah.
And just crazy. I thought weeklies were insane, but you have dailies now.
Well, Okay, so, Now, just because it's getting popular, would your service be applicable for prop traders, people trading through props?
Yes, that's kind of actually the main the main demographic that not demographic, the main target audience that we're going for. So the profile that we're working with right now is, we call it the prosumer. So it's kind of the in-betweeners, the people who are either trading their own money for a living, or are part of a bigger business, but they wanna I don't know, friends and family, money manager, stuff like that. So either like the smaller, the lower tier, money under management wise, the lower tier professional traders, or the higher tier retail traders. So these are kind of the middle ground that we're currently targeting. And as we'll grow, we'll start expanding more to the business use case side. And later on, more to the retail side. So that's kind of our marketing, our growth strategy. So we're first going to expand more to the pro side, and then more to the retail side.
Now, when you say the business side, in the trading world, how do you mean in comparison to or contrast to individual retail traders? You're talking about firms?
I'm talking about firms. Obviously, small firms. We won't get any, Renaissance technologies using TradeLogix anytime soon, or at all, but which is fine and expected. But yeah, I'm talking about smaller funds. People see, billions, and they see really large hedge funds. So there's a lot of hedge funds with under $100 million under management. Which are one or two guys. That's the entire personnel. So these are absolutely perfect. We're a perfect match with that type of that these types of funds. Money managers, we have quite a few that are managing, friends and family, 5 to 10 customers that their accounts that they're managing. So yeah, that these are the types of audience. Obviously, we have plans to provide more business tools. Like we already integrated a marketplace where businesses can actually start develop their and they have an SDK, so they can d develop their own customizable solutions to integrate with TradeLogix. You'll be able to, using the marketplace, you can subscribe to auditing services and accounting services automatically, because once you give the permission, we can give your trading history. Not your trading logic again, not the why you went into a trade, but the actual trade. We can share this with auditors, with accountants, so everything will happen while you trade. So yeah, the idea is to build an entire ecosystem from that, and it's going to be a long journey. We are very well aware of that, but yeah, that's kind of the broader vision of what we want to achieve, is providing your with entire ecosystem and an operating system for your trading.
Very cool. Well, so when somebody start, like say let's say I'm working with Interactive Brokers right now on their platform. So if I want to use TradeLogix, can I still use and trade through Interactive Brokers and take advantage of it, or do you have your own kind of user interface
No.
that I
You
can trade on TradeLogix?
Nope, you'd never trade through TradeLogix. That's not the business model. We don't do that. We don't want to touch your money, both for regulatory reasons and for just our peace of mind. So you just connect your broker with sign in with Google type of button. You're going to connect your Interactive Brokers account, and then every order that you're going to send with that account ID, you're going to get, okay, this account ID is ABC123. So every time you send an order with that account ID, it will be routed to that account in Interactive Broker. So yeah, we're not you're not depositing money in TradeLogix. Don't do anything like that. We're a service based fee. We're a fee usage based fee service.
So I can still, for lack of a better way to describe it, I can still do my trading the way I have been using the tools that I have been. Your sim TradeLogix is providing the tool to automate what I'm doing. And now, and Well, and essentially creating my own bot, right? I can build it over here in CreateLogix, and then I plug it in, and it runs over here on my existing platform.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Very cool indeed.
Yeah, we didn't want to go a route where we start our own brokerage or do anything like that. First, we don't think it's an interesting business model. In today's market, yeah, it's not. It's not. It's a type of a commodity, which I'm sure in 10, 15 years, TradeLogic would be as well. That's just the game of tech. I still remember buying a DVD player for $2,000. So, things are losing, are becoming more and more of a commodity as we progress. So the real benefit is not whether or not, the real challenge is not whether or not we can build the best product because we sure that we can be, is that we do that and be first to market with that type of offering.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so that's kind of the main challenge that we're facing. But yeah, we didn't want to build the creative brokerage. We didn't want to, live off commissions or sell your data or anything like that. We're a platform. We're defining ourselves as a cloud-based platform for traders, not a trading platform, but a platform for traders, like a trading operating system. And we've put in a lot of effort to make sure that we support any programming languages and any broker, just because we don't want to for you to relearn how to do things. So you come with your own knowledge. So let's say you know a little bit of Python or JavaScript, whatever it is that you've used, and you're using interactive brokers because you like it, and so keep using the same tools. It's we you sh you should do you. We'll just take care of everything and try to cater to make your life a lot easier.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool indeed. Well, yeah, this has been really excellent. It discovered some things I didn't realize were going on before. Very cool what you have going on. Now, I've got to ask, just because this is the shifting gears a little bit here, because this is the Consistent Profits podcast. What do you see as one or more of the primary obstacles for traders to keep them from realizing consistent profits?
The easy answer is a lack of patience. That's the main thing. Both patience for, and I knew that I don't have that patience, so that's why I went the algo way. Both patience of being able to sit there until something actually happens that you need to react to, and both patience for leaving the money there. A lot of, especially people who are starting out, I see that, and I again, I went exactly the same route. It's not like I'm dissing anyone. Everybody's going through that. You start with a nice strategy, and then you just because of greed and you're looking for action, you try to see if it works on a daily level or maybe an hourly level, maybe in a minute level, just because you want to do a lot of trades, because you think this will equate to more money. But no, just know who you are. And if you're not gonna sit every day in front of the computer to trade, just find some nice swing trading strategies. If you're all pumped of adrenaline, maybe go the day trading route. But yeah, but that have patience, and you need to integrate it into your lifestyle. That's essentially
Oh, true.
my two goals. This has to be integrated to your lifestyle.
Yeah, very cool. Well, yeah, I'll tell you what, it's been really excellent today. I appreciate again, appreciate you taking the time. Now, if somebody wants to connect with you, just as tradelogics.com, best way to find out more about
Yeah,
what's going on.
tradelogics.com, or just look me up on Twitter. I'm sorry, X. My handle is my last name's Arusi. Yeah, I'm there. I'm always doing something.
Excellent. Well, for all our listeners, and I'm glad everybody's here today. I applaud you for taking time to learn more as a trader, develop yourself, expand your knowledge base and everything. And if what Rand has going on here, it sounds like it would be of interest to you, and something that will benefit you in your trading. Definitely head over to TradeLogix and check him out. Connect with him there. and you know, take advantage of it. Don't just, you know, listen to this and say, yeah, that was cool, and then, you know, tomorrow it's forgotten and it's, you know, it just, it's been time consumed. But you know, like I said, if it resonates with you and it sounds like something that would be worthwhile, go ahead and you know, connect with him and you know, pursue it. He's got some really good stuff going on here, and the fact that you're doing open source, I love, because yeah, that is so cool. Just if nothing else, for the transparency of it, so that everybody knows that yeah, what you're doing is all legit, and you're not playing games. No adware, spyware, garbage, BS, all that. It's like you're right out there, and so everybody can see it's, you know, it's straightforward. So, yeah, really. Again, and thanks for being here, everybody. Thanks for being here, Rand. Thank you for taking the time, and I'd love to have you back on again.
Thank you very much for having me. I had a great time.
Indeed. Well, let's go and wrap it up. And everybody, again, you know, thanks for being here on the Consistent Profits Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Cheers. Thank you for joining us today on the Consistent Profits Podcast, brought to you by Inside Out Trading. Make sure to swing by Inside Out Trading and pick up your copy of The Proven Formula for Consistent Monthly Profits. If you enjoyed the show, make sure to subscribe on your favorite channel, and we'll see you on the next episode. Cheers.